From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made next month on a stage where 13 people will be talking about one subject. Mothers. Moms. Biological mothers. Adoptive mothers. Symbolic mothers. And the impact motherhood has on different facets of life. Some of their stories will make you laugh, others will make you cry, but all of them are introspective and compelling. How does the word mother resonate with you? Do you think of a motherly figure in your family? Are you a mother? Has someone who has acted as a mother to you changed your life? These are ideas explored by a production called Listen to Your Mother. It's a national movement presented in more than 50 cities, Rochester included. This year's local event is set for October 9th, and 13 local writers will share their powerful stories about mothers. In the words of former cast member and current production team member Christine Green, it was a beautiful, life-changing experience. This hour, we preview next month's event and get some stories of moms. I'd like to welcome our first guest in studio with us. Walt Way is with us. Walt's a cast member of Listen to Your Mother. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. And Deanna Spiata is a cast member as well, a local musician, recording artist, extraordinaire. Nice to have you back here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Bonnie Jackal is a cast member of Listen to Your Mother. Bonnie is with us. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Evan. Thank you for having me as well.
Robert Shelton, a cast member. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for having me.
And Aaron Julian, executive director of Listen to Your Mother Rochester. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Great to have all of you. And I should warn listeners, at 1:30, my mother is going to join us on this program for the first time because we're going to listen to my mother this hour. We're not just going to listen to your mother. We're listening to Evan's mom at 1:30. We're interrupting her workday. I have not been able to convince her to stop working, even though she's been hospitalized with pneumonia 4 times in the last several years, none of it COVID-based pneumonia. But you can imagine how concerned I am. But mom is still working, doing great work in a school, and we're going to talk to her at 1:30, and she has a hilarious story about my twin brother that I'm going to make her share. But let me ask Aaron Julian, as the executive director of Listen to Your Mother Rochester, tell us a little bit about the mission of this for people who have not been out to see it.
Sure. Thank you again so much for having us.
Sure.
So this is our 6th year. We took last year off. I don't think we even have to say why at this point, right? So this cast auditioned in March of 2020 and will finally be taking the stage this year. And we auditioned 40 people to come up with a cast of 13. And we like to say that there's no bad stories because there truly isn't. But you will see on October 9th at Hochstein at 7:30 that all of these stories are woven together in a way that truly exemplifies motherhood, all of the exhilaration and all of the exhaustion. And it will be shared with you from the stage at Hochstein. And I feel like the audience will really resonate with our speakers.
That's Saturday, October 9th, 7:30 p.m. It's one night only, just so you know, at Hochstein. And tickets are on rockthemic.org. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Live stream tickets are available for reduced price. And if tickets are remaining, they'll be $25 at the door. In advance, they're $18.50. Past years have sold out. Just know that. Proceeds benefiting the Society for the Protection and Care of Children. And so this is an event that goes all the way back to 2010 with this national movement. I you know, when you hear Christine Green, Aaron, talk about how it's a beautiful, life-changing experience, she's talking about, I think, you know, the impact of not only her own story and thinking about motherhood, how it sort of fits into her own life, but the stories that we've heard over the years really are remarkable. We're going to get glimpses of that from Walt and Deanna and Bonnie and Robert today. But do you think that that's life-changing? I mean, is that too strong a phrase, or how do you feel about that, Aaron?
I definitely think life-changing is appropriate. The production team, which is led by me, but I also have Jane Knickerbocker, Christine Green, who you mentioned, Taylor Terrence, and Terry Pease. And we are all under the helm of Monica Gabell, who is our executive producer. All of us have been previous cast members. Myself, I was in the show in 2018. I shared the story of my grandmother after I had just lost her. Her name was Natalie. And it was a tribute to her as this fierce role model in my life and how she still impacts me to this day. So it is life-altering. in many ways because you're sharing this experience. It's one that is felt by the audience and is very much a shared experience. And so when you hear these stories, you will hear love and loss and laughter, and everyone can resonate with those. And I think the most powerful thing is that stories bring us together. And this is a night of doing that with a topic that will resonate with just about everyone.
I hope you have briefed our guests well on how much they're allowed to tell, because we're not going to give away the whole story here. This would be just like a little taste, and you get the full dessert when you go out to the show. Deanna Spiotta, I'm going to start with you. A performance called I Want My Mom. So tell us about a little bit about this, Deanna.
My story is, it starts with my experience with ulcerative colitis, which is an autoimmune disease and chronic illness that has no cure. And symptoms manifest in sometimes severe periods called flares. I was hospitalized in late 2018 into 2019. And just the lived realization that the love of a mother persists throughout a whole lifetime. And even that like mother-baby love persists, especially through hard times, which is just something I didn't necessarily expect as a daughter. I just thought like, oh, my mom will be a support. We'll be friends, great friends. We'll update each other on our lives. But I really saw a true expression of a mother's love through how she took care of me during that time.
You call it I Want My Mom, which is a sentiment that we often hear, and it's a very childlike sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised that for you in some of your darkest times, it was just distilled right back to that very basic instinct, even when you're an adult, well into adulthood, when you thought our relationship has evolved? Were you surprised that it came back like that?
Yes, and you're exactly right. That's why it's titled that. And this isn't giving anything away, but I uttered that alone in my hospital room. I was crying. I was just like, I want my mom. And it surprised me that such a phrase that's associated with childhood just came out of me like an innate response.
Did your mother know that?
She hasn't heard this story yet. So, Mom, I'm not giving you any spoilers.
Is she listening now?
I think so.
She may be listening now.
But I'm excited for her to hear the whole story.
What a powerful thing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. The pandemic was a big shift in all of a sudden this disease making me at high risk for this COVID-19 disease. Mm-hmm. And that was it's a weird thing to live through, but I got my booster, so I feel good.
Feel a little better these days.
Yes, and I'm feeling healthy, so thank you.
Yeah. And how's your mom doing?
I think she's doing well. It was a hard time in our family. She actually broke her wrist while I was in the hospital too, and I feel like we have healed from a lot of those things, and she's retired and running marathons, and so I think she's doing great.
I think the pandemic has given an added poignance to this show this time. Listen to your mother is always powerful. That's why we always say yes. I always love hearing the stories. There are, I'm sure, the whole notion of editing and choosing a cast of a dozen or 13 people out of 40 or 50 or 60 who want to be on stage is tough, because there's really compelling stories. But the added poignance this time is there are many, many people who went the longest they've ever gone in their lives without seeing their mother, without touching, without hugging their mothers. And that, you know, that was me as well. My mom, very, very vulnerable to COVID. And I was very scared for a long time. And I still am. It's hard for me not to be. But, you know, it was kind of this surreal feeling, because she's back in Cleveland. And the first time I went back to see her, it was surreal. It was this past March, and, you know, I hadn't seen her in so long, well over a calendar year. It was 2019. I didn't see her at all in 2020. And it was just like, it was in a sense like nothing had changed, but then in a sense it felt like it had been decades. It was hard to put that into words. How did the pandemic impact you and your mother, if at all, in that way, Deanna?
Well, you're making me tear up, because it's been such a long year and a half that I sometimes forget about the beginning. And it was very scary My sisters and I managed to go stand really far apart in my parents' front lawn on Mother's Day 2020, and it filled my mom with so much joy. So we at least got to see her from afar. But it definitely makes me appreciate my mother and my loved ones even more, and appreciate things like hugging them and just being able to have dinner with them. And I think that makes these stories that much more special as well, with the things we've been through with our moms and families throughout the pandemic.
Amen. Is your mother a musician?
She is. She sings in the church choir. I mean, she's a great singer.
Deanna's got a new EP out. Still new. We can say new,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thank you.
What's it called?
It's called The In Between.
And yeah, I'm allowed to ask you about this. You're here. You're a captive audience.
Yeah, thank you.
Is your mother proud of your music?
Yes, very much so. She and my dad are my number one supporters and fans.
And I'm sure it has been, as hard as the pandemic has been, it has been probably really beautiful and rewarding to see, for them to see you take this next step and to do what you're doing. Do you think about them when you're performing? Do you see them? Even when there's a crowd of people, do they make themselves known?
Yes, they come to almost every performance. And I actually lived in Nashville, Tennessee for a little bit when they couldn't come. And it was so much harder to perform without seeing their faces in the audience.
You're not like one of these people like, Mom, keep it down.
No, I love it. I like ask her to stand up and model the t-shirts that like I made.
That's
and stuff.
Awesome. Hey, where do people find your music, by the way?
Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, anywhere you stream music, and on DeannaSpiata.com.
Deanna Spiata is the Rochester pronunciation. Deanna Spiotta is the Italian pronunciation.
Si.
I like that. Si. And the full story of I Want My Mom is going to be part of Listen to Your Mother, which is, if you're just joining us, it's really an annual production, and it's back in Rochester on October 9th. That's a Saturday, a couple Saturdays from now, one night only at Hochstein. And so this is our preview of sorts. Erin Julian is the executive director. Does the pandemic make this more poignant this time around, given how separated people have been often from their mothers?
So I think one of the things that is nice is because everybody auditioned in March of 2020, we actually don't have a COVID story in the bunch.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that just being together and being able to hear stories, maybe for the first time since the pandemic began, will be powerful in its own right. And I imagine next year's production, we will probably have a COVID story or two. But I think it's also nice to not have one this go around, and we can just be together and celebrate mom.
Awesome. Coming up on October 9th, Walt Way is with us, a cast member in Listen to Your Mother. Walt, let me see here. I don't know how much, again, we're getting little flavors of it. 14.5 things my mother taught me. That's what you're going to tell?
14 and a half things my mother taught me, yes.
14 and a half things my mother taught me. Tell us a little bit about what you're allowed to say about this.
Without giving out too much, it's kind of hard. But
And Walt, grab that mic and stick it right in your face, because
gotcha.
We want to hear you. There.
Here we go. All right. So I talk about this before a lot. I've had 14 and a half surgeries is what I say. And I want to give a perspective of what I've taken in that my mother's done for me. Cause we've been through in and out of hospitals and whatnot and stuff. I can't say yet. But me looking back at it as an adult now, And this is more of an appreciation. This is more of a, hey, I notice what you're doing, and I notice what you did, and I love you for every second. It's an appreciation post, and it breaks down what I saw during each surgery.
How many surgeries have you had?
Technically 15, but I say 14 and a half.
14 and a half. Mm-hmm. How old were you with your first one?
I was... it was in kindergarten. It was midway through kindergarten, so 4 years old.
How much are you allowed to tell us about what the surgeries were about?
Oh, I can talk. So I had surgeries on my ears, eyes. I have GERD, mm-hmm. so reflux, mm-hmm. severe. It burnt a hole in my esophagus in the fourth grade.
Wow.
So I'm not supposed to be able to talk with vocal cord dysfunction, hole in my esophagus. So me telling stories is just in its own right, it's something else. But I had it on. It's a ears, eyes, stomach. Mouth, because I was on over 100 medications, so they did damage to my mouth, so they had to do surgery on my mouth, and I think that's it. And then there's a bunch of medical stuff they thought I was like a anomaly. like with all the medical things and the fact that I'm still here is just, it's just something.
And you have done a lot of interesting things already as a poet,
yes,
songwriter,
yes,
rapper, producer, graphic designer. It's a long resume already.
Yes, yes, yes. I had a lot of time to myself. Let's just say so. I always loved writing. I've always loved storytelling ever since I was a kid. And that's when my kind of writing started, with little short stories in second grade. And then it evolved into poetry and then into music. And then it evolved into a career.
And can I also, I only have one little note on this. I want to ask you a little bit about Edwin McCain. What's the story?
Oh, yeah. Edwin McCain, that's my friend now. Edwin McCain, the singer.
Like the Edwin McCain? I'll be Edwin McCain?
Yeah, yeah. So I do TikTok videos surrounding Black history, education. And he saw one of my videos, and he liked it. And I was just like, oh, wow. He left a comment. I was like, TikTok can stitch. You can take somebody's comment, put it up there, and reply to him. I was like, oh, my God, it's Edwin McCain. I'm going to reply to his comment. And I was like, I'm going to reply with my whole music resume, everything you listed, plus more. And he DM'd me out of the blue. He was just like, hey, I love what you're doing. I don't know if he's listening, but he's going to come up to Rochester and end up writing a song with me. I got the DMs to prove it. So I'm joking, but he's going to come to Rochester.
I'm not saying it's not legit, but Walt, that is taking advantage of a situation. I love that.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, you got somebody who has, you know, had a famous music career, who just, you know, likes what you're doing, and but you take the time to follow it up and make sure that you're capturing that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You open that door for yourself.
Yeah, that's a talent I learned. Learned it late in life, but I'm glad I learned it now.
Late in life?
Yes, I learned that late in life.
How? I mean, late in life.
I feel like my life has been long so far.
Come on, man. Like, late in life?
Late in life. That's what I feel like. In my life, I should say.
Late in your life.
Late okay. In my life.
Deanna and I laughing like, come on, Walt. Like, you can't be that old. Late in your life.
Late in my life.
Something you might have wished you knew earlier. No, that's awesome. What do you primarily base your writing on? Because I'm reading that you've covered a lot of ground in what you focus with your art.
Yes. So I take a lot of inspiration from real life, from experiences, and then I try to turn it into some form of art. Like I said, I've been doing poetry since I was a kid, probably around like 10 or 11 when I really started writing. And I drew a lot of inspiration from like Deaf Poetry Jam, and just seeing how mm-hmm. they told their stories, and mm-hmm. People like Pat Justice, who showed that, yeah, I'm from what people would call the hood. It's my home. It's not the hood, but people call it the hood, and there's a lot of beauty in it. I know it's a lot of what people say is bad or what looks bad. There's a lot of beauty that comes from the streets. And I wanted to turn anything that I had going on, if it involved that or if it involved just my medical situation, I can turn it into something beautiful.
Awesome. I think there's beauty just about everywhere if we're open to encountering it.
Oh, yes.
And there's also a lot of stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So when you think about your own upbringing and you think about the beauty that you found, that maybe there's misunderstanding. What do you think is the most common misunderstanding or stereotype about the streets where you grew up versus how you see them in reality?
So I grew up, at least my main most of my childhood was on Sixth Street. And what people think about is it's violent. It's streets, is drug ridden, is this awful place. But we had a community. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody loved everybody. Everybody, moms and grandmothers looked out for everybody child as if there was their own. If anything went wrong in the community, in our little community, it was community policing. And that's not just, hey, we're going to go beat up this person or nothing. No, it's talking. Why did you do this? That's something my mom taught me, is figure out why they did it. You can be upset at the time, but you took that from that store. I'm going to go buy you a sub. If you're hungry, I'm going to go buy for you. You're doing this for a reason. If it's to feed you, feed your kids, to do whatever, there's a reason behind it. And so I think a lot of misconception is we just inherently, a lot of people are just inherently bad that comes from there. It's not, we're just trying to survive.
Is your mother still with us?
Yeah, she just had her 70th birthday on the 14th.
Awesome. And she going to be there on October 9th?
Yes. 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 She's yelling at me if I forget to let her know. But I got her ticket and everything already, so she's good.
I love that. Has the pandemic impacted your relationship at all with her?
I can't go around as much. At the beginning, I didn't go around as much. I'm obviously high risk with everything going on with me. And then I was worried about my mom because at the time she was 69. She's 69 years old. So I didn't want to do anything. I was working at the time. And that's before I just walked out and I said, I value my life a little too much. But yeah, it impacted how much I saw her. But she calls me and she'll talk for an hour. And then
she calls you?
She'll call me.
It's your job to call her. Come on, Walt.
I call her. But if she calls me, I got to be prepared to talk.
Well, look, let me speak for her. You don't call her enough, I think.
Oh, you can call my mom for me then. you can. I called her twice yesterday. We had some conversations.
Okay, you call her enough. That's good. Most of us, myself included, as I'm about to find out from my mother, don't call our moms enough. Aaron, Julian, you know, listen to Deanna and Walt talk about what they're going to be bringing to the performance on October 9th. That's just a little taste of it. But you said there were 40 people who wanted to be part of the cast. I mean, that is a lot of hard work that you got to do.
It really is. And as I said before, there's no bad stories. And so it's really hard to tell somebody not this year. But the 13 storytellers that we chose, their stories sort of weave together. And we often find these common threads when we're listening to these storytellers during auditions. And the common thread, I think, will be pretty evident for our audience on October 9th at Hochstein. Based on the two that you've heard from, there's healing and hope. And that's just some of the storyline.
October 9th coming up here a couple of Saturdays. And Walt and Deanna are just two. So, you know, you're getting a sense for what it's all about. And it's a wide range here. And, you know, Aaron, throughout the years, as this kind of performance has grown, you think about a lot of different diversity of themes. I don't know if there is a more common story. I mean, every story with their mom's a little bit different, but how important is it to you and the people behind this production that it is a diversity of voices, ideas, themes about, you know, listening to your mother and what that means to them? It's certainly not just one story.
Absolutely. It was really important for us as a production team during auditions because we wanted diversity of voices and people. And it was important to us that our storytellers that take the stage reflect Rochester. So it can't be a singular voice, a singular color, a singular gender. We wanted to make sure that we had diversity of thought and ideas when we take the stage. So that was very important to us. And I think you will see that also, even just talking to our first two now, and then we'll talk to Bonnie and to Robert shortly. But there is diversity of voice and thought and gender, and that was very important to us when planning this show.
All right, it's coming up October 9th. Let's take our only break of the hour. And I hope Deanna, Walt, hang around. We've got more great stories to share. We'll chat with them. We'll get Robert and Bonnie's stories coming up here. And on the other side of this break, you will meet my actual mother for the first time on this program. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, how can members of law enforcement better interact with people who have intellectual and developmental disabilities? We hear from participants of a recent event with the Arc of Monroe and the Advocacy Alliance. We'll talk with a member of law enforcement about police training techniques, and we'll hear from people with disabilities about their perspectives. That's Wednesday.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Listen to your mother is good advice. Most of us don't call our mothers enough. Most of us probably don't listen to our mothers enough. And this is a production that has been in many cities around the country since 2010. Rochester has hosted a number of events themed on Listen to Your Mother, and the 2021 version is coming back on October 9th. And you just heard Deanna Spiata, Walt Way telling their stories. Erin Julian, Executive Director, remind people where they can get tickets if they want to do that in advance.
Yes, please go to rockthemic.org. They're $18.50 in advance or $10 for the live stream option if you would prefer to view from home. If we have tickets available at the door, they will be $25, and it is at Hochstein this year. We're also asking that our audience wear masks, which I think we should all be pretty good at by now, but just so everyone knows.
Absolutely. Listen to your mother. Protect your mothers. Be smart. Wonderful. So it's coming up. It's one time only, Saturday, October 9th at 7:30 p.m. And I asked my mother to join us for just a couple of minutes halfway through this program just to prove to listeners who've heard me invoke her many times that she's real. She's a real person. And all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, Cheryl Burke is on the line with us. Hi, Mom.
Hi, hon.
How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm eating my lunch.
You didn't know you were going to be on the radio today.
No, I didn't. I did not know that.
How are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling just great. I'm glad you didn't tell me we were going to be doing this because I would have been a wreck. A wreck.
You know, Mom, I've talked a good amount during the pandemic just about the concern that a lot of us have for our moms and their health. And we've talked about the fact that you've been through a lot in the last couple of years. But you're hanging in there. I still remember how excited I was to get you, to help get you a vaccine appointment. What was it, back in late January, maybe? Early February?
Yes, January 23rd.
And you ended up having to drive like half an hour on like horrible weather. And you didn't
horrible
tell me that until after you got
rush
home.
Hour traffic, not knowing where I was going, but I was so excited that you got us those reservations. I mean, I was so excited that day at work. I just couldn't stop talking or thinking about it to know that I was getting the COVID shot. And then I got the second one, of course, February 23rd, right after, at the exact same place, but at least I knew where I was going that time. But yeah, I couldn't have been more grateful to you, Evan, for getting Donna and I those shots.
Well, you know how I feel about you working. You know how I feel about you working, because I'm proud of the work you do, but I've been worried about it. Can you just let folks know what it is that you do?
Well, I'm a special ed assistant in Westlake, Ohio, and this is now my 36th year, but it's probably one of the safest places you can be, because all the kids, even the little guys, and it's kindergarten, well, it's actually preschool through fourth grade, and they are all masked, all of us, and including the staff, of course. Everything's disinfected daily, and during the day also, it's disinfected. We keep distance, always have. Anyway, I mean,
I'm not interrogating you. It's okay. You can keep working.
I'm just saying. And it also gets your mother up and out of bed really quite early in the morning if you call 5:45 a.m. early. That's not early for you, I know.
Walt's looking at me like, that's early.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But it gets me up and moving out of bed with back problems. So, and it makes me walk at least a mile a day up and down stairs, which we don't have in our house. So it's really good exercise for someone elderly.
So before I let you go, I want to do a couple of things here. I thought about stories that you could share. There's one that I think should be shared. My favorite story from childhood, I think, of all the stories is so my twin brother, for listeners who don't know, I have a twin brother named Drew. And do you remember how old was Drew that one day that he decided he wanted to fake sick, didn't want to go to school? He said he had a stomachache. And you said, okay, let's go to the doctor. And do you remember what happened?
That wasn't the one where he ended up in the hospital. He never faked being sick, because both of you guys,
Mom,
always wanted to go to school.
I never did. Drew, Mom.
That's not the one where he ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, he had an enema.
Yes, he did. That's the one. He did. He wasn't faking.
No,
he had a real stomach ache.
Well, he tells the story a little differently. He said he never thought he would decide that he wasn't going to school in the morning, but was going to result in that.
Well, he didn't think it was going to result in that, but he did have a stomach ache, and rightfully so, when the x-ray came back.
Okay, well, listen, I'm not going to blow him in on radio. I'm just telling you, he tells the story a little differently. The other story is when I was getting ready for my heart surgery, not an open heart surgery, when I was 17, I remember how nervous I was and how many people around me were important. There was actually two people. It was you and Dwayne Miller, who was a math teacher, who kept telling me, you know, you can't worry about what you can't change. You should really focus your worry on what you have control over. And those messages from you and, of all people, Dwayne Miller, I think helped ease my tension about that surgery. And when I remember coming out of that surgery, and I went home eventually, and then I was...
That was the beginning of your migraine.
I started having a migraine. We didn't know it was wrong. And I went back to the hospital, and there's a neurologist named Dr. Banshee?
Yes.
We have all kinds of weird
names.
He had an oral surgeon named Dr. Blood. We've got all kinds of cool things in our family. Dr. Banshee came in, and he said, this guy's having a migraine. And that was helpful, because you later told me that you were keeping your cool, but they were almost going to do a spinal tap. They were worried about, like, a brain hemorrhage or something. And you were out.
We were worried about it.
And you said you were out in the hallway, you know, trying to keep it together. But every time you saw me, you were very composed. And the reason I got through that week was because of you.
Well, thank you, Evan. That's a really nice thing. But you had a tough time that week. That was a real tough time
awful.
For you.
I'm also not very good with needles and hospitals.
No, you drive everybody crazy up in the hospital.
I do.
Nurses, doctors.
It's very good when they can get rid of me.
Yes.
And I'll let you go back to lunch, but I'll tell you that you still have some work to do on your voice texting.
Well, that's not going to improve until they improve that little microphone thing on the telephone.
Mom,
the cell phone.
When it's still recording and you say stop, 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 it doesn't stop. It just it just puts that in the text.
Okay. that I should have control of.
I really,
the other stuff, the way they spell things out is not very good.
I beg of you, though, don't try to get any better at that. That's usually the highlight of my week when you try to voice text.
Okay.
I don't call you enough, do I?
No. I'll tell you, the best day of my life is when I hear from the three of you. Truly, I mean, you can ask Don that. The best day of my life is when I hear from my three sons. But I don't call you guys because I know all three of you are so busy.
Oh, you
and I just.
It's our job to call you more.
Want to.
No, that's our job to call you.
That's the whole point. But you know, as much as I knock cell phones and the texting, they really do serve a purpose. I will admit, because at least I'm not bothering you. And did you get the picture of the cream brulee I sent you from Saturday night?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I know you love.
Well, you didn't respond to it.
I tried to send you. I sent you a picture of Reese at soccer.
I know that's not responding to the cream brulee.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
I love you. Thank you for everything you do.
Okay, honey. I love you too.
You can go back to lunch.
Okay. Bye.
That's my mother. She's the best. So everybody who's ever heard me invoke my mother over the years, now you know why she's the best. She could have had her own show. Reality TV should have started with Cheryl Burke. It's just a shame that it didn't happen. And I'm not going to be on stage on October 9th at Listen to Your Mother talking about Cheryl Burke. This was my only chance to bring her on the show, and I'll never do that to her again. But she's the best. She's the absolute best. I think about her all the time, especially during the pandemic. She's been through so much. So much of what we are doing as a society is to protect each other, but especially people like my mom. So love you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Okay. Aaron Julian, we can get right back to the show now. How do you like that? Sorry about the little interlude there, but you know, moms are good spokespeople for your show, I thought.
Oh my gosh, please do not apologize. That was the most adorable thing ever. And also, we're going to have auditions next March, and I think maybe you should start writing.
She's given us a lifetime of material, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure people need any more of that. She's a great storyteller. She's very, very funny. She's a very good storyteller. She'd be better than I would. So just listeners, if you just tuned in and you say, why is Evan talking to his mom? I'm talking to my mom because Listen to Your Mother's coming back to Rochester. It's season 6, 13 local writers, and it's hosted by author and leadership consultant Pam Sherman. The event, 2 Saturdays from now, Saturday, October 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hochstein Performance Hall. Tickets $18.50 in advance, $25 at the door if there are any left. Live stream tickets are available. If you can't be there in person, you can do it for $10 there. It's a really beautiful local event there. And got Walt Way, Deanna Spietta. They've been telling their stories in studio here. Walt Way, you had a response. When my mom said, I don't know if 5:30 in the morning is early, we looked at each other like, that's early enough.
Yeah, that's when I went to sleep this morning. Real early.
When's your alarm go off, Deanna?
If I work out, 5:30. Okay, so if I don't, 6:15.
You like to see the sunrise, right?
I don't like it, but you don't like I it? Do it.
See, I actually do. I feel like I'm ahead of the day then, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like I can accomplish so much. And then I don't, but I always feel like I could. I feel like it's possible. Next time I do, I'm going to think, oh, Walt's going to bed now.
Oh, yeah, Walt is going to bed. 5:45.
It's been a productive night.
Yes, that's what I do all night. I work all night, and then I just go to sleep.
Bonnie Jekyll is a cast member of Listen to Your Mother, and I want to turn to Bonnie for a little bit of a flavor of what Bonnie's going to be bringing in a performance called Blood, Sweat, Mother's Milk, and Tears. Hi, Bonnie. Tell us a little about your story here.
Hi, Evan. Thank you. So my story is about my unexpected experiences with breastfeeding. So I'm a mom and I have 3 kids, and my experiences were as different as each of my children are, and how those experiences shaped me both figuratively and literally.
And the story is, you know, I guess, is it meant to make people think, laugh, I think, to some degree here? I'm reading some of the details. I can't read them all on the air, I don't think, Bonnie.
Yeah, my story, it's true. And, you know, there's no training for becoming a mother. And I entered motherhood kind of late in life. And, you know, I thought I knew some things. But becoming a mother, there's no training. And it's maybe one of the most important roles that there are in life. But you kind of go along and you learn as you go. And just like every person is different, even though you might have a hand in creating several different little people, each one of them brings you a whole wealth of different experiences. And then you have to figure out how to parent your way through that.
Mm. What are you hoping people take from what you're going to deliver on stage next 2 Saturdays from now, Bonnie?
So my story is pretty humorous. It's all real life things, but I think you get a lot of laughs in it, and I think there are a few kind of aha moments, you know, it's learning about momming and how different it can be. And just even within the one little area of nursing your kids, there's a lot to learn there. And, you know, hopefully you make your way through with recoverable errors.
Without giving away too much of what I'm reading about your performance, I will just say on the subject of breastfeeding, I feel like it unfortunately becomes part of sort of the culture wars or the mom wars, or there's a lot of pressure. And then it can be really tough on moms when it doesn't go well. I mean, I know, you know, a number of women in my own family who have struggled and, you know, are really hard on themselves when it doesn't go well. I think they will relate to a lot. Just as they may be laughing at some of what you're sharing, I'm sure they will. I think there will be a lot of people relating to what you are sharing, if that makes sense, Bonnie.
Yeah, I mean, one of the lactation consultant admitted to us that breastfeeding is one of the most unnatural, natural things to do. Hmm. You know, and if you, with your first child, you don't really know what you're doing, right? And you're kind of coming at this very innocent and naive, and you kind of find your way through it, hopefully with the help of a lot of others who have been through it before. So, I think, I just knew I wanted to do it, and I knew I wanted to confer all of the benefits that you give to the baby through breastfeeding. And
I pressed on, even when it was kind of a bumpy, difficult road.
And it was. People should really look forward to this story. It's a wild one. Bonnie, one more question for you. I mean, I know you moved to New York City to work in advertising, and you know, you've seen sort of the contrast of New York City vis-a-vis Rochester. I was just talking to friends the other day who moved back to Rochester, actually during the pandemic, because they could work remotely and not live in Brooklyn or not live in New York City and get more for their money and get more space and keep doing the same work. So they did that, moved back here. And so they moved to Irondequoit, and it's like, oh my God, we've got so much space. There's so much square footage. There's so much yard for the money compared to the little tiny thumbprint you might get in New York City. And it's sort of a readjustment to what your expectations are for day-to-day life. It's easy to kind of, I think, live in Rochester and forget how different things can be elsewhere. What do you make of some of the differences?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in Webster, New York, and after college, I moved to New York City to work in advertising, and I was literally on Madison Avenue. So in that all-consuming excitement of being in that environment, I mean, I literally felt like I was in the center of the universe. I mean, especially in that industry and advertising, I mean, you kind of are, at least in at a key point for doing advertising and exciting work like that. But at that time, I could not imagine ever being a mother, you know, because you are so consumed with all the cool, exciting things you are doing. But even though I said I would never come back to Rochester after 10 years there, I had a variety of experiences. You know, I ran down my mugger one day at lunchtime and got back all my wallet and everything. So I had a couple kind of interesting experiences.
You ran
like
down
that.
A mugger?
I did. Yeah.
Like you just thought, yeah, this guy's not going to outrun me.
The woman next to me, we're walking on Fifth Avenue, right where Altman's was on 34th Street and Fifth, and it's crowded street. The woman next to me says, "That guy," and she points to the guy a little bit ahead of us. "He just took something out of your purse," and you know, then you go on autopilot. I wasn't thinking. I ran ahead, grabbed him by the shoulders, and turned him around, and I said, "I think you have something of mine." I don't know. He was holding a big Bloomingdale's bag, shopping bag, up in front of his chest. And from behind it, he pulled out my wallet and my checkbook and handed them back to me. And then he goes, "I think I dropped something too." And he starts picking up random pieces of paper off the street. Like he's a Boy Scout. What's going on here? So I got it all back. But, you know, after a couple of experiences like that, and then ultimately I wanted to have simple things like a backyard and a grill and a car. And I did come back to Rochester, and it was like 10 years. And like you said, you can buy a house and have a backyard and a grill and a very nice quality of life here that is affordable compared to New York City.
In the unlikely event that I would ever have the courage to confront someone in that situation, I still would not have the presence of mind to write, to deliver like an Aaron Sorkin-like line of, "I think you have something of mine." Like, that is so badass.
It's on autopilot, you know? Because I am a classic overthinker. So I didn't, in that moment, you know, it's blink, you know? You instantly do it and you're on autopilot. And that's what came out.
I mean, how good is that, Deanna? Like, would you have the presence of mind to deliver a line like that? Come on, you're a writer.
I don't think I would. I'm not sure, but I don't know Bonnie very well yet, but we've heard her story, and this seems consistent with, like, who Bonnie is, and you have to hear her story.
Walt, grab that. You agree with that, Walt?
Most definitely. Bonnie, remember at the read-through, after you read your story, and I looked at you same way I'm looking right now, and I said that you are a thug. You're the only thug in that building at the time. This is why.
Stuff like this. I take that as high.
to,
Thank you.
Okay, so Bonnie's story is part of Listen to Your Mother. Laughter is important, Aaron, right, Aaron? I mean, you got to be able to, people are going to be crying. You got to get people laughing a little bit, right?
Absolutely. And it is, it's truly the roller coaster of motherhood will be heard. So you will laugh, you will cry, you will gasp. You might hold your chest or maybe somewhere else once you hear Bonnie's story. But yes, it's all there.
Well, we got to get Robert Shelton in before the hour is up here. Robert Shelton, also part of the cast for Listen to Your Mother. And Robert, talking about Mr. Mom. Tell us about that, Robert.
Sure. Thanks, Evan. yeah, that title obviously brings with it a fair amount of cultural baggage.
Yeah.
The piece attempts to not to disappoint on that front. So, funny is the overall vibe of it, but it chronicles a time when my wife and I, our first child was born, when we decided to basically alternate who's going to be at work and who's going to be at home. And it's funny, there's sort of a set of legislative bookends around the story because it takes place in 1996, and I believe it was 1993 that the Family and Medical Leave Act was first passed, and just recently it got switched to paid leave. But at the time, we were trying to, help resolve that dilemma that a lot of mothers face, which is, you can punch a hole in your career and stay home, or you can, work and miss out on those milestones. And so the piece shows us trying to, come up with our own way to make that not the choice and find another way. And, hilarity ensues.
Well, your resume indicates you're one hell of a writer. In fact, leaving a 22-year career to become an author and a playwright is usually for people who just hate money. but... your work is already so acclaimed that it sounds like the sky's the limit. So I guess I'm just curious to know how you kind of distill a plan to write. Because how long is this performance? You don't have that long, right, on stage?
Yeah, no, it's something like 5 to 8 minutes.
I mean, you're distilling a whole lot into 5 to 8 minutes. How do you feel about it?
You have to. Or I chose to just pick a few incidents and try to paint them as a picture, with a fair amount of detail. And it's not just Mr. Mom, there are two characters in the story. There's Mr. Mom and then there's Actual Mom. And Actual Mom is in all the crucial scenes and, as a piece of writing, naturally, it's about motherhood. She's the mother, so she's got to be the focus. So that part was, you have to sort of not step in some common traps here author making yourself the center of the whole thing.
And what does it mean to you to be part of a cast here where, 40 people wanted to be on the stage, there's going to be 13, and that's the case every time Rochester gets a chance to do Listen to Your Mother. There's so many wonderful people who could be on that stage. What's it mean to you, Robert?
Oh, it means the world. I know a lot of really good writers whose mm-hmm. Material didn't fit the the turn of the show. So it's an absolute honor to be included with this group. And you talk about a life-changing life-changing experience, as Christine Green said. When I auditioned, I was working as a database engineer, and now I'm just a writer. So this was definitely being made part of the cast was definitely part of that.
Well, it sounds like from what Walt was saying, you guys have been together a little bit. You've been doing, so you had a chance to kind of see and hear each other's material. Is that right, Walt?
Yes.
So Robert, how's the show?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I don't know. Writers are notoriously comparative or competitive. And I listen to everything at the read through and just think, that was fantastic. I wish I had something better.
No, it's always a good sign for the quality of the show, because yours was selected for a reason, but it's I'm sure it's a lot of fun when people are listening to each other and you're laughing and you're emotional and you know how good it is. It is always that way. That's why we always do this on the program. It's a lot of fun here. Listen to Your Mother is coming up on Saturday, October 9th, two Saturdays from now, 7:30 p.m. It's one night only at the Hochstein School Performance Hall. Tickets in advance at rockthemic.org. You could live stream it as well for a reduced price. They will have $25 tickets at the door that night if there are tickets that remain. That's if there are tickets that remain. And let me ask Aaron if there's anything you want to leave with the audience as we close what's been an awesome hour here. Aaron, what do you want to leave with the audience?
Well, I do just want to say to Robert, you're not just a writer. You are a writer. I think words are important. And the final thing I just want to say is that the proceeds of our show do go to the Society for the Protection and Care of Children. This will be the sixth year in a row. And because they are taking care of those who need it the most in our community, we think that's really important that we do give back as well. So we hope that people will come out and hear these stories. Stories are so important and they bring us together. And we cannot wait to take the stage at Hochstein on October 9th.
Aaron, thanks for making time for the program. Have fun with Listening to Your Mother, Rochester. Thanks for being here, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
Robert Shelton, just a writer. Not just a writer. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Evan.
Bonnie, make him laugh. I know you're going to kill him in a theatrical sense. Sounds like an awesome performance coming up. Thanks for being with us. And in studio, Walt Way. Have fun with that. Leading off, by the way. You're the lead off?
Yeah, yes, I'm kicking it
That's
off.
That's a big responsibility.
Oh, yeah, but it's...
Deanna Spiata, great having you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
And Cheryl Burke with a cameo. Long overdue. Love you, Mom. Megan Mack, Emma Ray Stein, Rob Brayton, Evan Dawson saying, listen to Your Mother, and you can listen to us tomorrow on member-supported public radio.